happening in the world.
There is a lot happening in the world. My name is Donnie Wiggins, you guys, your very favorite business coach. And this is David Shands, your very favorite podcast coach.
Yeah. Hey, we
kind of do a little bit of both, but you know, whatever you want to know us for, you know us for it.
Yes, we are here. We are people's favorite entrepreneurship podcast. Actually, yeah. I don't know another duo or another podcast that really talks to the beginning entrepreneur. So EYL, they talk more investment and kind of like they just on a whole nother level. Shouts out to those guys. But a couple people that's just talking about entrepreneurial experience, there's got to be some, right?
There has to be some. We just don't know it. But I know it's us.
We up.
I know we're up.
Yes.
Not only that, there's a lot of podcast partners just splitting and breaking up. A lot of business partners. We would never. You know, I'm going to send an email today to my whole network that says I've officially left the Social Proof Network. What do you think about?
I like it. I don't know.
It's super quick, to let people know that full transparency has moved to my own YouTube.
Done deal.
That's the subject line, and it's going to go crazy. But no, I'm really proud of us.
Yes.
I am really 100% proud of us. We are in this thing, and there's not even like a thought.
Yeah.
We've never thought about like quitting or breaking up or doing these things. We're in it. We get it. We understand it. And we're serving y'all. So
for sure. I think part of it is the fact that I'm building stuff and you're building stuff and we come together and we build something.
Yeah.
But the thing that we're building isn't it's not our whole livelihood.
Right.
Meaning there are some people that come together and this is all they have. Nothing wrong with it, but this is all they have. So I need to control it as much as possible. You need to control it as much as possible because anything that you do might affect my whole livelihood.
Yeah.
So when we start talking about it's not about the money, I think that applies here because it's not the money that we make together that's responsible for our lifestyle.
Right.
Like you are a coach, you have clients, you have whole businesses. I got the same thing. But when we come together, we have a good time.
We have a good time. We do. And we have to, I think that's a really good point. Like this isn't our only thing.
Correct.
And I say that even when I'm thinking about mentoring newer entrepreneurs, I tell them like, they're always like, I want to quit my job. I'm ready to quit my job. When do you think I should quit my job? And I'm like, when your whole life doesn't, like if you are in a position where you have an option, you should not quit your job until your whole life doesn't depend on your business's income, because there is something super risky and stressful about building your business from a position of duress. Like stress, like obviously you'll go through the ups and downs of business and things like that. But if you have a choice to build your business and stabilize it while you're working a job, that's the best position to be in for sure.
Keep going. Reese's fixing cameras.
Reese's fixing the camera. No, seriously. So when we're thinking about like business partnerships and things like I am my own 7-figure brand. You are your own 8-figure brand.
I'm not an 8-figure brand.
That was cap?
It's not cap. Okay, so let's just talk about it, okay?
Yo, because you're on the internet for sure with a whole 8-figure plaque from ClickFunnels that says that through that funnel and that funnel alone, you've generated 8 figures.
Yes, so that is 100% true.
Okay.
And to protect the other people, and I took out their names, but there's a bunch of names on there. So it was a collective effort.
Oh, I see. So you guys did a group project.
Correct.
And together you owned, but your split wasn't necessarily.
Correct.
But let me tell you something. Sure. That's still nothing to sneeze at.
We're not going to sneeze at it.
We're not going to bat a blind eye at it. We're going to celebrate you and all of those people who wish to remain anonymous. Mm-hmm. Like an 8-figure award. Is that for this year, last year?
Well, we got it in 2023, but we've been building it together for 2 years.
Okay. An 8-figure award, collectively or not, from your own idea is a really big freaking deal. You hear me?
Do you think people thought, wow, David has $10 million?
So I didn't see that you crossed anybody's name out.
And the fact that you thought it, you saw it too.
Yo, I was like, I was like, wait, what was this one? What did I miss? I legitimately was like, oh, in fact, I'm going to go look at it because I did not notice that you crossed anybody's name out. And now it makes complete and total sense because I really was like, dang, I'm way behind the eight ball.
Yes.
No, but you're a really big deal. Okay. I see now. I see the little black. Yeah. I wasn't, you know what? I just scrolled so quickly. All I did was counted the little plaques on there. The plaque. I just counted them. I said, no, that don't look like seven. That doesn't look like seven.
Yeah.
So there we go. Yeah.
No, but anyway. Yeah, it's a testament of collaboration, and I don't have to be the person out in front. And when you build a good team, everybody can play their role and you can accomplish something great.
For sure. And now that you're saying it's collaborative, I know what that collaboration is. Congratulations to the whole collaboration.
For sure.
That's amazing.
So lots of stuff going on in the world, man.
Yo.
There's a lot of stuff going on.
You know what? I woke up this morning with just this super heavy energy. Wow. Super heavy energy because we've got a post that's currently going viral on the internet, and it's not based on the most positive conversation.
Yo, I'm sorry. The most random people come up to me and said, like, they're talking about that episode. The most unsuspecting people. Mm-hmm. My father-in-law saw it. It's like, yo, I was at church, and a couple of people came up to me like, yo, that episode. I'm like, what? Random people who never, ever watched the podcast saw that joint.
My concierge, like some people at my concierge where I live, was like, that was a really deep episode. Yeah. And thank you for shedding light on that situation. And it's just the everyday, like the post has gone viral. We have several of the posts from that episode that have gone viral. And so my notifications are just filled with that energy. So that's already been quite heavy. And yes, for those of you guys who have been asking, we did speak to the other person involved and we're all in communication. So there's that. We'll leave it there. But it's just been a really heavy energy.
Have you had people DM you of them being in those situations?
So many people have DM'd me their stories. Probably over 1,000 people. My DMs are in shambles.
Really?
My DMs. I got DMs, a couple,
but not like.
Well, wow. You got a couple because you're a man.
Yeah.
And most often these situations involve the woman being, you know, the victim or whatever. Sure. And so they tend to be more comfortable speaking to another woman. And I think I got so much of it because I spoke on my own situation, you know, that happened to me in college. So I created a safe space for women to come in and talk to me. But at least I would feel really good about saying about 1,000 people. And you can tell how connected because there's more than 1,000 people on the YouTube alone, you know, commenting on it. The stories that I was receiving, though, was a combination of thank you for bringing, like, I had men who were like, thank you for bringing this, you know, issue out. I'm going to be more mindful about how I approach leadership. I had women that were urging, like, just so concerned for her safety, saying, you know, like, I stuck through a situation like that for years and you think it gets better and it never does. I had people who were currently in the situation asking for resources and we're going back and forth and finding resources in their city and state. Wow. And I feel really bad because there's so many messages that I'm sure I missed some. And I'm sure there's somebody who's saying like, I need help finding resources in there that I couldn't get to because there are so many messages that the clip of me was shared about 8,000 times at this point. So it's just a lot. There's so when I read it and every single day I'm going into my DMs and it's like a woman who's saying, I recognize that. And people who didn't even watch the episode yet could just hear in the tone something that they recognize that they could relate to their own situation.
Yeah, if you're wondering what we're talking about, is maybe your first episode watching us. Look at episode 448.
Yeah, 448.
448. There was a, I don't even know how to describe it. And even when other people are talking to other people about it in front of me, it's hard for me to go down a rabbit hole because it's, I don't want to slander anybody. And that wasn't the goal. First off, Morning Meetup members can come through. You can just pull up, right? When we're recording up until this moment, we're trying to figure out, you know, if we're going to keep that, how that is. But
because this was so unexpected.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he just pulled up and just like a regular person in the audience, and something happened to, well, not happened to me, but the girl he's dating, I have a relationship with her. And not like that, but we like super cool.
She comes to the events hall. Yeah.
Love her. And, but she unfollowed me. I saw she unfollowed me. And the guy is dating her. So I just mentioned it to him. And he's saying pretty much he told her to unfollow me. Then I just get to the bottom of it, right? But then it goes around to this. Donnie starts to recognize signs of something extremely familiar. And I think other people did too. So our goal wasn't to embarrass the young man. And I don't know if it's cool sharing this, but he's cool. And he said that, you know, he had been drinking a little bit that morning.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's where that came from.
Yeah.
So super more confused even after today. So I don't even know how to, I don't know.
So the goal was not to embarrass him, but he was given an opportunity to chill out.
Oh, bro.
And he was given an opportunity to stop talking. Yeah, and he did not take that opportunity.
He just popped in every now to give us something to say. And I'm like,
every time we diverted the conversation, he just, hey, you know, another thing and another thing. So, no, the goal was not to embarrass him, but I do believe the conversation was important.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
I do believe the conversation was important. And there were so many people who were concerned about us shedding light on a conversation like that and not reaching out to the person involved. And I reached out before we even left the studio and like, I need to see your face, video call me. Mm-hmm. And we did that. And we did that. And can I speak? We did that. And she shared with me, she's in the studio right now, but we're going to leave her off camera. Mm-hmm. We needed to see her face.
Yeah, for sure.
And just, you know, just see her face because we hadn't seen her face in quite some time. But she did also share that there was, you know, some alcohol involved regularly, and they're figuring out their next steps.
Yes. Okay. Figuring out your next steps, right? Okay. You got some, are you excited about the future? Your next steps?
Delighted.
Delighted. Good. About the future, she okay. says. Delighted. We don't have a mic.
Yeah, and I don't
put a camera on her. Don't put the camera on her. But if you want to speak. It's up to
you if you want to say something. It's cool, but.
Hold on.
You'd have to.
You got
to
get the mic. Microphone.
But we won't put the camera on you. Do you want to? You want to talk?
Yeah. I'll say something.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. All right. And yes. Okay.
I was just going to say that I'm really happy it happened because it was kind of like the wake-up call he needed to get the drinking under control. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I wanted to say.
Was it a wake-up call for you?
Yeah. I mean, I had been had the wake-up call, but this is like my first time dealing with someone who drinks like this, so I didn't really, like, I didn't think it was as bad as, like, I'm seeing other people view it as. Like, I'm just like, oh, well, every guy has problems, you know? And this is just his. And, like, maybe I can support him through it. I can, you know, just be there. So, yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. So, do you want to talk about your next step or no? Or what's happening or no?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay. Okay. All right, let's all just, you know, check on people.
Check on people
more often. And maybe it's our fault because we didn't see you. We should have checked on you. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I saw the unfollowing. He was like, I don't know how I started unfollowing.
Actually, she told me that she never unfollowed you.
Yeah, it's still the same thing.
So. She told me she never unfollowed you, that he's had that kind of access before, so he must have done that.
Yeah, it's just so many of those, like, strange signs. You know what I mean? So if what you're saying is true, meaning you didn't unfollow some, he must have grabbed your phone and unfollowed some people that he didn't like. And I really wish he'd have said something like, I had her unfollow you because I don't like the way you look at her when she's in the studio.
Something.
I'd be like, I didn't mean it, but I feel you, bro. You might think that it's something going on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, give me that answer. You didn't give me one at all. Yeah. So that was the only thing. So anyway, we can kind of pivot.
We can pivot from it. But yes, so everything is, I don't know if it's good, but it's in progress.
Yes.
It's in progress. It's in process. And we have to understand, like, even though it was hard for me to have the conversation before we started airing this, hearing, you know, kind of where you are, people go through their journeys and make decisions when they're ready. Yeah. And so that has to be a decision that, you know, you make for yourself, anybody or whatever.
I have a good segue.
Okay.
Maybe it's a good segue.
Yikes.
But I made a post last night. It was on my heart. It was in my spirit. You want me to read the post?
Please.
Have you given up on your pursuit of becoming a millionaire? After 10 or 20 plus years of trying, are you finally done? Be honest with me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll read it one more time. Have you given up on your pursuit of becoming a millionaire? Imagine going after for 10 or 20 plus years.
Okay.
And never accomplishing it. And believe it or not, there were some people in the comments that said, absolutely, I'm done. Like, I've been going after this thing for so long. It's not in the cards for me. Mm-hmm. And I understand it. So think about that. Like, somebody, when I met my wife, actually, she said, she was actually done dating. She had settled on the fact that it's going to be her and her daughter alone for the rest of their lives. And she was cool with that because you go through so many bad dating experiences. You're like, yo, I'm done with relationships altogether. I'm done with this idea of fairy tale wedding or fairy tale husband. I'm done with that idea. I'm just going to stick to myself. So when it comes to entrepreneurship, I can 100% imagine that happening.
I'm reading a very interesting comment from Maria Moore. Shout out to Maria Moore. She's an Atlanta legend. After I became a millionaire, I realized how living on less would make me much happier.
Mm.
It is important that our pursuit of peace is just as aggressive as our pursuit of money.
Yes.
And I feel her on that.
I feel her on that.
There have been moments where, in fact, I was just having a conversation with someone yesterday. Mm-hmm. And in that conversation, I was talking about, you know, we were talking about our goals together and separately, like just talking about our goals. And I was saying that sometimes, like, I'm okay with sacrificing a little bit just to buy back some of my time, freedom, and joy, and all those things matter. I am finished with the 18-hour days, I believe. Now, and that doesn't mean that I'll never work an 18-hour day, but there were several years where all I did was worked 18-hour days, day after day after day, Monday through Sunday, repeat and come back at it, right? And if we're launching something, if we're up against a deadline, like those things for sure. However, just as a general rule of thumb, like, I have office hours now. And if it can't get done in those office hours, like, I'm just okay with missing out. I don't have to any longer make all the money. I believe the seven figures for me was, I mean, I believe that we're here now, right? Yeah. We've arrived. We're a seven figure business.
For sure.
But I believe that most importantly, it was a challenge to myself that I can do hard things.
Mm, I like that.
Yeah. It was a challenge to myself. Making more than $1 million. And year after year, David, I'll be honest with you. I have been surprised. Like year after year, we are 3 years in a row now, year after year. And even though like currently there are some challenges in the business and things happening, I was just sharing that with my daughter. Like it's really hard to not hit seven figures at this point. But still with that said, sometimes it's like, I'd rather just lay on my couch. I made enough money. Yeah. I'd rather just chill for the rest of the month. But I don't have that kind of energy inside of me. Mm-hmm. I don't have the, I don't believe I have the go for a billion energy in me anymore, but I don't have the energy of quit. Not that, yeah. But I totally feel where Maria is coming from when she said, sometimes I just feel like it would make me much happier to live on less.
Mm. Is that settling or no?
I don't know. I don't know that it's settling sometimes.
Yeah.
So for me, I don't know. I don't know if it's settling or if it's accepting. So sometimes you like really, once you get to like $500,000 a year, what can't you do?
Mad stuff.
No,
what?
not financially responsible. There's not a whole lot that you what like what?
So for one, are you talking about making $500,000 or netting $500,000?
Netting $500,000.
Who gets to net $500,000?
I do. I mean, like, you know, people
if
do.
If you make a million,
mm-hmm.
if you make a million,
mm-hmm.
I'm talking about if you net a million, your taxes
oh, for are $500,000. Sure. Insane.
So the amount of money that you have to make to net $500,000
mm-hmm.
is a lot.
Either sure.
You know what I mean? So the person but who's netting $500,000, yeah, for sure. But I'm not saying people don't, but I'm saying for the large majority.
Yeah.
Someone who's netting $500,000 is probably making somewhere between 1.5 and 2 million.
For sure.
Now
with a high profit margin.
Yes. Yeah. And I think I do well. Mm-hmm. There's mad stuff I can't do.
Tell me what you really want to do that you can't do.
I want to buy that house that they raided of Diddy's. That's like beautiful.
That house.
The I want one, that house.
The house was housing.
I can't do it.
You hear me? Mm-mm. But is that what you really want to do? Like that's OD.
My I mean,
we don't know. The house was a lot. For a lot of people.
The house was a lot.
For a lot of people.
Yeah. What's up, podcaster or soon to be podcaster? Get ready to level up your podcast game because the number one podcast education summit of the year is back and it's bigger and better than ever. I'm talking about the second annual podcast summit happening on July 4th and 5th in the content creation capital of the world. You already know, ATL, baby. Atlanta, Georgia, going down July 4th and 5th, two full days. Imagine this. Imagine you getting all the game you need to take your voice, your brand, your business to the next level. Imagine getting all the insider tips. Imagine getting all the know-how that you've been craving for the last 2, 3, 4 years where you're talking about you're going to start a podcast, but you haven't yet because you don't have the tools, you don't have the tips, you don't have the tricks. I don't care if you're just starting or you're a seasoned pro. This summit has something for everyone. Picture you mastering the basics of setting up your podcast or unlocking the secrets to grow your brand on social media. We're not just talking about podcasting here. I'm talking about you want to build a long form catalog, whether it's skits, movies. We got people talking about script writing. This is an incredible experience. Imagine discovering the art of securing these lucrative sponsorship deals. And that's not all. Learn the ropes of creating a pitch deck that has sponsors knocking down your door. But wait, there's more. This isn't just a summit. This is an experience, I'm telling you. Rub shoulders with industry leaders. And you got to network with the other people that are doing what you're doing. All the guests that have ever been on Social Proof Podcast, I'm giving them a free ticket. And in exchange, they promise me that they're going to sit down and do short interviews with you. We got podcast booths for our VIP members where you can sit down, pull somebody to a side, and you're going to create content in real time. I know what you're thinking. How do I get a part of this podcasting paradise? Well, it's simple. All you have to do is head over to podcastsummit.com, grab your tickets now. But hold on. Because I have something really, really special for you. I got a little treat for my early birds, people who take action. The next 20 listeners and only 20 listeners who get your tickets right now, okay? I'm not only going to give you 20% off of whatever ticket level you get 20% off. But if you use the promo code BIGDEAL, it'll take 20% off immediately, but I'm also going to allow the first 20 people listening to this right now to be able to bring a friend, bring a teammate, bring a partner for absolutely free. You get general admission, they get general admission. You get VIP, they get VIP. Whatever ticket level you purchase, you get to bring a friend, partner, colleague, boo thing for absolutely free. Nothing extra required. My team's going to reach out to you, get your partner's name, or if you don't have the person you No, right now, yet, you got time, no pressure, you get us back. But use that code Big Deal. That triggers to let us know you get to bring someone for free. So don't wait. So secure your spot at the number one podcast education summit in the country. Join us July 4th and 5th in Atlanta. Let's turn your podcast dreams into a reality, y'all. Head over to podcastsummit.com. Use promo code Big Deal at checkout and get your tickets now. Don't miss out on the opportunity to take your podcast to new heights, take your brand to new heights, take your business to new heights with this unprecedented offer, okay? I'll see you at the summit. And don't forget to use promo code Big Deal.
plan on housing your whole entire immediate Maybe. And distant family?
Not all that, but okay. Okay, Myron came in here mm-hmm. and he started talking about he is not flying commercial ever again.
You don't have to fly commercial ever again.
I do have to fly commercial.
No, you don't.
Ever again. What?
I mean, well, as much as you fly, maybe for sure. Myron ain't flying commercial ever again. Ever.
He said it was just so ill. You got to see it. It was just so dope how he painted it. He said that my time is more valuable. I need to get there faster. And I just make money. I create an offer to make money to pay for this particular part of my lifestyle. And I said, that's cool. I can't do that.
That's what I'm on.
You know what I want to do?
Tell me.
This $1.3 million that we need. Mm-hmm. We don't need to ask nobody. I got $600,000. You got $600,000. Let's just do it.
No.
There's mad stuff you can't do.
But it's not that we can't do that.
No.
It's just not a wise choice to do it.
I can't do that.
It's not wise.
I guess we could, but it's not.
It's not wise. It's not wise to do. If I did that, I would feel that for sure.
So.
But we're talking about.
Okay. Making $30 million and netting like, let's say like. 15 or 18, 20.
Yeah.
Then it's like, it's no problem. There's mad stuff I could do. So we got
to. But when you get 30. To that level, then you want to build compounds and you have subdivisions for and you sure. want to, there's always a level. But my point of it was that I believe that most people could live very comfortably earning 500 grand. Even if it's gross, most people could live very comfortably making 500 grand.
Depending on their level of financial literacy.
Are you comfortable making $500,000? Absolutely. Yeah, are y'all comfortable? You comfortable? 500 grand?
Hold on. So if you ask someone who hasn't made 500,000, they're like, yes, because in their mind it's, whoa, so much more.
That's a good point.
But if, let's say, for instance, you make 60 and you're bad at mismanaging the 60, at a million it gets worse.
Yeah,
because you're waiting on the next check, and that next check has to be really, really big. And it's like the bigger you build it, the harder you fall. So someone who's netting $500,000, it probably doesn't feel like they're netting $500,000 because you got to learn how to manage the 50 that you got first.
So
it's a challenge.
How much do you need to be happy? How much do you need? That's a real question. Like, I'm looking at these posts. And there are so many people who are like, so somebody said, I'm not sure if it's giving up. We're talking about your post. They said, I'm not sure if it's giving up, but I'm starting to feel like I no longer desire a lifestyle that requires it.
I'm not sure if I'm giving up, but I'm not sure if I require a lifestyle that requires becoming a millionaire.
Yeah, right? I'm not sure that I any longer feel a desire for a lifestyle that requires it.
But you know what? And I hate saying this kind of stuff because I'm with you. Not everybody needs to make that type of money, but it comes from people who have tried. And some people just feel like it's not in the cards. So it's I'd rather just decide that I don't want it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Oh, for sure. Now that's settling. That's fear and it's settling.
What was the other word you used? Acceptance.
Acceptance. Sometimes there are a lot of people who need to accept, but I say that too, it's a double-edged sword because there are a lot of people who need to accept it and they need to get really, really good at the level that they're going to be great at, because not accepting it for many people leads to depression and feeling like a failure and all these other things that's not true. Like, listen, if you're out here making $250,000, you are well above the average income in America, all over the world, really.
Especially if it's coming from a job, because they just give you the money.
They just give you the money.
You know what I mean? It's not that you have to take the 250 and then take 60 of it and then put money back in to make the 250. It's like you go to work, you come home, 250.
Mm-hmm.
That's much different than entrepreneurship.
But here's another perspective. After making millions at this point, you ever feel like a million just isn't enough?
Heck yeah, man. It's never enough. That's what I'm saying.
It's not enough. No, like really, like you look at it and you look at your accounts, you look at your investments, you look at what's left after everything, and you're like, I'm grateful. God, I swear I'm grateful, right? But a million is just not enough.
It's so not enough.
But when did we become these people that $1 million isn't enough money?
Once you get it, get this. Before you make $100,000, if you're working at Olive Garden like I was working, it's like, ooh, $100,000, that will be enough.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get there and it's like, whoa, I thought, hold on, what? I thought when I made the six figures, it's all the way up. But whatever level you get to, you'll realize it's not enough. Now, I think there are levels where you have enough, right? So right now, I said this on the call this morning. And I think this is a quotable. I will probably always work, but I won't always have to.
I will always work, but I won't always have to. That's a bar. That's exactly. You just summed up my whole life right now. Mm. That's how I feel. I will always work just because it excites me.
Yeah.
It excites me. But there are seasons in which I could really chill out. So I'll probably always work, but I won't always have to. Like at some point, I'll be working for just the love of it. Just the love of it. I'll be taking engagements that I just want. I'll be, you know, seeking opportunities that just make sense. I'll be dibbling and dabbling in people's businesses because it seems fun, you know. And that's the goal. Always work, but not always have to.
Exactly. Yes. Somebody like Elon Musk or something. He could quit right now and just not do anything for the rest of his life. But he's like, yo, I want to revolutionize the world. You wake up with some sort of energy to go do something great and go do something amazing. Like that's the goal. But right now there's a lot of people that are just in survival mode, right? I mean, nice house, right? I mean, shoot, we got to work so we can have this house that we want or this lifestyle that we want. Do we need a 15, 20,000 square foot house with 8 garages? Do you need it? You don't need it. You don't need it. It'd be nice to have it. But as you start to.
Okay.
So you want it. You just don't need it right now. So we can't say, do you want it? No, I don't want it. Yes, you do. There's some things that I want to. Now, I don't really like private. Because I'm not gonna lie to you, it feels like a roller coaster ride. You feel too many winds and waves and stuff like that. I didn't enjoy it. It wasn't enjoyable for me. But there's some stuff that I want a big house. So even a person that commented, "What's up with you? What are you doing?" Am I asking you again? It's the slides. It's the slides. Yo, they was cooking my boy. Hold on, they was cooking.
You saw what I was doing, didn't you?
They was cooking my boy.
First of all, the way your toes hanging over top of those slides right now, and you got all this room in the back.
You know what's crazy?
It was definitely a moment of flashbacks. At least your socks are clean.
One of the cooking points from last week episode was my man had the slides that you're always supposed to wear to the pool or something
like that. Yes, yes, yes.
And I had my sneakers in there, but I didn't lace them. So I had to unlace.
Maybe I'll he didn't you. Lace his slides.
Can you grab my shoes real quick? You know the coach of doors, right? Yeah, just grab my shoes. Just because I want people to know I've got shoes.
And you have on athletic socks.
And I have on athletic matters. Socks. Yeah. And these are clean socks.
They're really nice
socks. But I got out of the car. I left my house and I was like, dang, I don't feel like lacing. Like, you know, you got to lace them up because they're like tied super tight. There's a good opportunity to shout out my boy Celebrity 409.
Mm-hmm.
See how they're laced like really tight? You see that? You can't just slip them on. So it takes time to unlace them, get them right. So as you see, this would have been a very, very fresh fit. Okay.
It would have been.
But anyway.
Yeah, you were making a really good point, though.
Yeah, I forgot where I was.
The bottom line is, I think that it's important for us to check in with ourselves every now and then and decide, like, how much do we need? And even beyond that, people who are going after that million, like, why? Yeah. Why? Why? Like, if you're really clear about what you need, you know if you need a million or not. And everybody doesn't need $1 million. Some people just need that 250 to live the life of their dreams. I think too, like there are so many people who are looking at social media and everybody else and determining like, I want that because they have it. And it's not even what you truly want. Some people just want a nice little 3-bedroom ranch on a small farm. Farms are expensive.
Let's examine this word need though.
Mm-hmm.
When you say you don't need a million, what does that mean exactly?
It means that based on the vision that you have for your life, you don't necessarily have to go for a million. You could go for 300,000, 400,000, and it provides for you, your family, creates the lifestyle that you want for yourself. Like, I truly believe that there are people who are attempting to be entrepreneurs because it just looks cool. When that's not really what you want. What you really want is the promotion at that job. What you really want is to be C-suite level employee somewhere. And that is fine. There are people who are wearing name brand or high level designer clothes because they see everybody else doing it. And they're not even a designer person. That whatever tag not in the back, that's really where you can be and where you can live and thrive. And you're happy with that. And I just think that it's the same thing with money. Like, ask yourself, what is my intent? Why am I really going after this goal?
What do you need? How much money do you need?
I need a lot of money.
How much?
Like, to have access to.
How much do you need?
Need. Need and need. Want. Okay, so I'm talking about what?
I'm talking about how much do you need to be making?
10 million.
You need 10 million.
I need 10 million for the life that I want.
That's some people that's going to argue, like, she doesn't need 10 million.
Well, here's the thing.
She only needs to be able to eat top ramen and have a beverage and live in a modest little.
And that's what I mean. That's what I mean by needs and vision is relative.
Yes.
That might be what they want for themselves. And there are really people who can't fathom what you would do with $10 million, right? And I mean 10 million annually.
And I'm talking about like, I need like 10 million liquid amongst like other investments.
Listen,
and cool stuff.
And I don't just mean a total net worth. I'm talking about repeatedly, right? But needs and vision are relative. And so that person who's comfortable, I'll still be eating ramen noodles with $10 million with the $10 million annual revenue or project revenue, whatever. I'm still going to eat. I eat ramen noodles today. Okay. I cook them things on up, add my little flavor to it. And it works. Somebody I was on the phone with a couple of months ago, told me that I am too wealthy to eat ramen.
Mm.
And I emphatically disagreed.
Right.
It's delicious.
A good grilled cheese sandwich? What? Come on with
now,
it.
Now, I don't use those little sodium packets that come in the ramen. I spice my own ramen up.
Oh, really?
For no reason. I wasn't eating that broke. So I could feel the hypertension.
And then you just...
I'm chopping green onions and sausage and boiled eggs. Yeah, I hook my stuff up.
Mm-hmm. I make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I give half to Sarai and I eat the other half.
I had peanut butter last night, okay? And I don't even make a sandwich with two pieces. I take a piece of bread, put peanut butter on half the bread, fold it over, because you need a good consistency, but you got to be able to swallow it, right?
Oh, for sure.
So I ate my one little folded over, decided that I was still hungry, and made a second little fold over. Mm-hmm. And when I tell you, those are some of the most fulfilling nights
ever.
I just need to be fed.
Yes. And and here's the thing. I still need to... be a little bit cheap. I'm not cheap. I am financially literate. I'm financially
astute.
I manage my finances. So we just had Sarai's birthday party and there was this little fixture on the stage, Donnie. I'm just a curious person. So I lean over to my wife and I'm like, hey boo. This joint looks dope.
Hey girl, hey.
About how much did that cost? Her answer disturbed me. I ain't gonna hold you. It was $1,000.
It was a balloon arch?
No, it was a couple balloons. It was like a half of a mermaid's fin cut out. There was a three on the stage, she turned three. Then more balloons, maybe a little arch thing. But what really got, and they had some really nice clear balloons. It was like a clear shimmery. Mm-hmm. It was dope. And I'm like, $1,000? She's like, yeah. So they're going to come and pick it up. And they're coming to pick the stuff up tomorrow.
We don't get to take it home?
I didn't like it. I wasn't comfortable. And maybe that's my poverty mindset.
But yet you would spend $1,500 on a sweater that you like.
I would never.
You have plenty of time. Okay, just to be clear, because you have several, okay? People desire to spend what they want to spend.
But I wouldn't just buy it randomly. I had to justify it somehow. I did buy, I bought some stupid stuff. I did.
Yes.
But what I'm saying is I'd eat more, but I'd still be the same
What's
person.
The number for you? Is it 10 million? What's the number?
Well, what are we talking about?
You asked me, how much money do I need? And I'm asking you, how much money do you need?
To have or to earn?
Let's say to earn, so you ultimately have.
To earn, I need.
Need. How much do you need?
I need a cool $2 million a month. That'd be cool.
12 million, 2 million. Okay, so you need $24 million.
Yeah, light though.
24 is a good number.
24 is the Kobe's number.
It is a really good number, and I wouldn't be mad at 24. Now, in earning, I'm cool at 10 million. I think I really am. And I don't know, because I got friends who earn 10 million plus.
It don't seem like it.
And it don't seem like they, it's not looking 10-ish to me.
Sure.
But also including like any assets and things that I own, you know, I just want to live comfortably. I want to be able to, and not saying that I don't live comfortably now. I live very comfortably, but I still have like a wish list with a lot of stuff on it. And I would like to filter through that wish list and check some of those things off.
Yeah. And we're giving this answer now, right? But when you get to 10, your need is going to be different.
Yo, because 3 years ago, it was all about one.
Come on.
It was all about one. And we could not wait to earn just one million dollars.
So it's almost like the needs change based on what you don't have. If you are a type of person that is ambitious and you're going after it, right? What you have now, it doesn't, I mean... what I have now doesn't provide me the opportunity to do what I really, really want. My wife said the other day, she's like, ooh, I want to get like our dream house. And we got a cool little house, but I want to be able to like, I want to be able to do that. So mm-hmm. let's just go get the house. I want to be able to imagine buying a plot of land and building a neighborhood as a transitional house for people that are homeless.
I would love.
You feel me?
No, they said ain't nothing little about your house.
Ain't nothing little about my house. Clay ain't never been to my house. My house, I mean, it's cool.
We can count the rooms.
You can count the rooms.
We see the different backgrounds. You know what I mean?
I'll put it this way.
I live in a light little 1,500 square feet. You live in five of those.
I don't live in five of those at all. But what I'm saying is, imagine, so say you got all this stuff. The need changes. It's like, I need to build water wells now.
Yeah.
Which means I got to go out and earn some more because I don't want to ruin the lifestyle that I have. Could we come together and build like a neighborhood for homeless people and have a house, like a school house or something like that, where the people get to live there for free, eat for free,
you get
6 months, but you got to go to class every single day mm-hmm. to work on your mindset. And you know, in 6 months, you'd have to be gainfully employed and out on your own, but we can teach you how to do that. That's lit.
Let's start with a quad.
Start with a quad.
Let's start with a quad. Do that idea. Test the theory out. Make it so that you have to show up for these classes. And let's start with just that group of people. We can put multiple people in each unit in a quad. We'll have what, like 10 to 16 people.
It's so important that Black voices are represented in Black media for so many different reasons. And the next generation of Black voices and influencers from Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths. Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are as distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. In the Black Stories, Black Truths collections, you'll hear stories of joy, resilience, empowerment, and creating world-shifting things out of struggle. And every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective. From Bobby Smurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range of Black Stories, Black Truths. I listen and I'm enjoying these conversations that are for us, by us. Black representation, again, it hasn't always been shared from our perspective. And Black perspectives haven't been censored in the telling of America's story. Now they are the story. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of some of NPR's best podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience. Hear a feed of episodes from across NPR's podcasts that center Black voices. It's NPR Noir. Turn on NPR today and hear a range of voices as very nuanced and Black as the country we reflect. Stories should never be about us without us. Listen to the Black Stories, Black Truths on NPR, wherever you get podcasts. Hey, y'all, I ain't gonna lie, man. They sent me this Eufy lock. Think about being on the couch. Someone rings the doorbell. Your child left their key at school, and they need you to get off the couch to open the door. Well, you don't have to do it anymore with this Eufy lock. You can open, unlock, see who's at the door all on your phone. It's super easy to install. You can set up with just a Phillips screwdriver, no drilling required. It's keyless entry, so it's no more fumbling for your keys when your hands are full coming from the grocery store. 0.3 second fingerprint recognition. Listen, you put your fingerprint on there, Even if you got your bags, you put one finger out there, boop, you get to unlock your door that way. No battery anxiety. You don't have to worry about the battery dying. Quick charging. It's incredible. Also, passcode unlocking and remote control with a 2K clear sight camera so you can see who's at the front door. You're in control anywhere from the app. Enhanced night vision. It's absolutely incredible. No monthly fee either. So unlike other brands that charge a monthly fee, you have recordings locally, and you don't have to pay for the storage. Customer support is on 10. Listen, Eufy is on standby for you 24/7, so you can enjoy a worry-free experience with an 18-month warranty, all backed by our professional customer service team. Listen, you can contact them anytime, telephone, email, or live chat. Okay, listen, You need this Eufy lock. You need to look it up. All you have to do is go to the official website, Eufy, EUFY.com. I just ordered mine, okay? I love this product. It is incredible. It's a game changer. It makes life so much easier, right? So if you have a video doorbell already or any smart lock, it's time to replace it. It's time to replace it. So listen, search Eufy, EUFY video lock. Search Eufy video lock. That's EUFY video lock. Or visit eufyofficial.com/video lock to see how you can gain complete control of your door. Okay? You can get a complete control of your front door, your life, back door. Incredible. Okay? So search Eufy, EUFY video lock, or visit eufyofficial.com/video lock.
Or whatever, and let's do that. Let's do that now.
Let's focus on this other investment we have.
Dang.
Okay, first off.
I mean, we could actually, we got a second piece of land. We could put a little something right there.
Let's build out what we got to build out first.
That's true. Y'all, yeah, listen.
You feel me? Like, there's some needs we have.
We have some needs, and we're still soliciting for investment.
But I think... So first off, we talked to Terica earlier today.
She gonna give it to us?
I think so.
Terica gonna give it to us?
She trying to negotiate something crazy though. I don't.
Terica's numbers be so firm, right, and so fair. You know what I mean? It just be so businessy. Right.
This is why I would always invest with her, because she is going to get that comfortable number.
Yeah, does it leave us comfortable though?
Oh yeah, so we got to talk. But she said it with a smile. But anyway, there are like billionaires who need billions because they're trying to get to the moon to live.
You know, speaking of the building, you were, tell me more. Let's break this down real quick.
You want to talk through the numbers?
Well, no, because you were telling me last week that there's this fund that Diddy has that will invest in our effort.
I didn't say that.
You did. You said that you met somebody who was funded by Diddy and we should apply, or something like that.
No, I didn't say that.
What did we say?
Nothing. I was just telling you that I met somebody who Diddy invested in.
But I thought you wanted us to apply for it.
No, apply for what? No, okay. Shouts out to Will on our Rec Philly. I go to Philly for the... First off, podcast workshop was lit. Shouts out to Suleiman and the P4.
I like Suleiman a lot.
Oh, yeah, it was lit. And he rolled out the red carpet, man. It was just dope. So he takes me to Rec Philly. Rec Philly is a 10,000 square foot building inside the mall, inside the old gallery, if anybody's familiar with Philly, inside the gallery. And he was telling me about his business model, and he's been doing it since 2015. And, and you know, anybody that's been building a community, like, we love those people.
Yeah, for sure. Because
they can relate to what we've been doing for the last forever, right? And he was telling me about his business model, and I said, this is brilliant.
Brilliant.
So he raised some capital, and he made some noise, and then Diddy wound up investing in them building
one in Miami.
One in Miami.
In Miami.
Yeah, so it's not a fun. I was just hype and excited that I met him, and he's a brilliant, brilliant brother, man. If you are in the Philly area, go support, man.
So for the record, we're not looking to apply for that.
Apply for what?
For the investment from Diddy.
If I'm being honest, I don't know. Diddy just sold Revolt.
I saw that.
Yes, yeah, so I don't know if he's going to invest.
He might not be in an investment. It might not be the right time of his life to make an investment.
Yeah, he's going through. Sure. Yo, and side note, man. So he's going through whatever he's going through. And, yo, 50 is pouring it on.
Yo, 50, there's a post. I think Shade Room or Hollywood Unlocked or somebody made a post that said, what celebrity do you not want beef with? 50 had an overwhelming amount of responses. He gives no cares in the world about who he talks about. And let me just say this. What's happening with Diddy and that whole little circle is tragic.
Yes.
It is, because the thing is, whether it's true or not true, it has tainted that era of Black music and what contributed to the culture. And then there's also potentially And we don't know. We don't know what's true or what's not. But either way, it's tainted. There is, on one hand, Diddy and everything that he's done and all the people that he put on. And, you know, he really led an era for us, for real. For but sure. Then, if true, there's this... There's the other side with victims and families of these victims and people who were negatively impacted by whatever. So either way, this is a lose-lose.
Yeah, and 50 is really pouring it on. And I'm seeing it, and I'm like, this. At the end of the day, this is a man's life that we're talking about. And I don't know if, like, everything should be fun and games when we're talking about serious situations. And I don't know, but... Yeah, I don't know if I like that. You know what I mean?
No, I don't like it. But you know what I don't like more? So I don't like that 50 necessarily makes mockery of these potentially serious situations. Yeah. But what I don't like more is that they made a spectacle of Diddy. And again, we don't know what's true and what's not true. We're not here to, we're not the judge of that. But what I don't like is that these, like, Nickelodeon and Disney reps that have been sued and lost lawsuits, and you've got all these child stars coming out. Where's the raid on their house? Mm. Where's the public embarrassment? Where are their children standing outside in the front yard handcuffed? Yeah. We don't see it. And that is more damning than anything 50 can do.
Yeah, for sure. Man, this is... A lot going on in the world, man, but I gotta go.
We gotta go. We gotta wrap this thing on up. This is one of our shorter episodes. I want you to really think about this though, because it's going to be the destination to the whole, like, map that you're putting together for your plan of action. What do you really need? Like, think about number one. Think about first, identify how much it costs to live your life today, right? And not being behind on bills. Like, if all bills are paid on time and you got what you need, how much does it cost to live your life today? Is that enough? For most people, the answer is no. Now I want you to write out your entire dream life. What does your dream life look like? I want you to imagine it, picture it, and then do the numbers. Actually do the numbers on what it costs to live that dream life. And let's set that as our first metric.
Yes.
Let's set that as our first metric. For you, it might not be a million. For some, it could be 10 million. But it needs to be your decision, and it needs to be founded on more than, I saw somebody on the internet with an 8-figure plaque, don't even know how he got it, but now I suddenly need it too.
Yeah. Find out what you want out of life. And you, guess what? You're going to go get it. Now,
you're going to get it?
If you are confused, spend the next 6 months, 12 months figuring that out.
Mm-hmm,
it's a lost life if you're just living. You don't know what you're living for or what you're going after.
Yeah,
that's got to be a sad, depressing, draining life.
For sure.
So go after it, y'all. We believe in you.
We believe in you, and we want to be closely connected with you. We invite you to join our communities, the Morning Meetup at themorningmeetup.com and Actionable CEO at actionableceo.com. Both amazing mentorship communities for entrepreneurs, not even who are just on their start, but this is a great place for the aspiring entrepreneur, the beginning entrepreneur, and the more advanced entrepreneur, because it's all about community, helping each other out to achieve our goals. So check them both out and join them both. We want to see you there.
Absolutely.
Bye. Peace.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.